Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Let me for a moment digress. Hare Krishna. The birds are coming? Some parrots also, or just only these? I want to say something personal. I so much like to speak about Krishna. I'm not a good speaker about Krishna. But if you can encourage me by listening carefully and giving it your best of attempts, I can guarantee you that something wonderful will happen in your lives. The example which Rupa Goswami gives is, he compares words with ordinary well water taken from a deep well inside. And he says, my words are like this. They are like very ordinary well water. But even well water becomes special if it is used for an abhishek of a Shalagram Shila. So even ordinary words can become valuable and full of transcendental potency if they describe the Supreme Lord and come in contact with him in this way. Almost like well water is drunken with great reverence and appreciation if it has washed a Shalagram Shila. So we are trying to wash with our imperfect words over this beautiful prayer. And we will now go into a very nice subject matter, which I was thinking very long if I should talk about it or not to the assembly of devotees who is just learning to appreciate the transcendental subject matter. But I feel it is so enchanting that one has to talk about it. It's about the fragrance of Krishna, how he smells, how Radharani smell. And this is described in the sixth text, and by now we can all read it together. We will chant it slowly.
Sorabhyahrita gandhavam gandon madita madhavam Radha Rodana Vangshikam Mahati Mohita Chutam Sorapya Hrita Gandharvam Gandon Madita Madhavam Radha Rodana Vangshikam Mahati Mohita Chutam.
O King, whose fragrance captivates Sri Radha. O Queen, whose fragrance maddens Lord Madhava. Then in the second line, it talks about the transcendental instruments of the Lord and his beloved. O King, whose flute stuns Sri Radha. And O Queen, whose veena charms infallible Krishna. There are different analogies of this world which are given in order to describe Krishna, but these analogies all faint when they actually smell the beautiful fragrance of the Lord. These analogies are approximations. Just like in a moonlit night, we may say, look there, the moon is between the second and the third branch, and our glance goes in this direction and then finds the moon, which is much, much behind these branches. In the same way, analogies given from this world only help us to go in the direction, but we will find the real thing much, much behind these analogies. So Krishna's fragrance is often compared with the fragrance of a blue lotus smeared with musk and a certain combination of scents called aguru, which is used to worship as superior. And Radha's fragrance is described to smell like the scent of a lotus smeared with saffron. Imagine you would take saffron and rub it over a lotus flower, and then you would have an approximation, something to look in the direction of Radha's fragrance. But really, if we one day will take a little of the scent, of the divine scent, of the spiritual reality, we will just not be able to. It's beyond everything that we have experienced here. Once Prabhupada made this very clear when he spoke about what it means when a person tries to describe the love of Radha and Krishna in the Rasa Leela. And he gave an analogy. He said, actually, it's like this story where one man who had never eaten jackfruit wanted to know from his friend, how does a jackfruit taste? Who of you has tasted a jackfruit, if I may know? Then I've also a nice taster. So the friend said, you have to eat it. You can't. You have to experience it. You can't describe this extraordinary taste. But his friend urged him, wanted to have an explanation. Finally, he said, listen, the jackfruit smells like sugarcane juice poured through the beard of a Muslim. Now, how does this smell? I imagine it has a little tough smell, huh? The sugar cane juice. But you really can't imagine by this. So Radha Krishna's love and the Rasa Leela is beyond our imagination, but still we try with our words to go in that direction. And that is always a journey which the speaker and the audience have to make together. It cannot be done by one of them alone. Both have to do it. Just like it takes a man and a woman to produce a child, in order to experience Krishna consciousness in a devotional assembly by talking about these subjects, speaker and audiences have to give their best. It's devotional service to make Krishna appear. It's a very important point for me to say this. So after having sent talked about Krishna's fragrance a little, I would like to read from you a shloka from Krishnayinika Kumudi, where the author says, who can describe the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet? When he places these lotus feet lovingly upon the breast of Mother Earth. When the bees just smell a little of this fragrance, they leave the lotus flowers and just come where Krishna's feet are. My dear devotees, this brings me to a question. Who do you think is Krishna's most constant associate in Vrindavan? The bumblebees. They always follow Krishna everywhere, and they find him even when he is alone in the forest. Do you know why? By the scent, huh? By the smell of Lord Krishna. They even go with Lord Krishna in the secret kunjas where Lord Krishna meets his beloved gopis in an intimate way. These bumblebees are always with Krishna and so on. So this fragrance of Krishna, in other words, attracts the bumblebees, but it also attracts the bumblebee mind of Srimati Radharani. And when Srimati Radharani smells this fragrance of Krishna as he enters the forest of Vrindavan, Radharani wants to become like a bumblebee who goes into the scent and flies up and down and up and down and up and down. And in this way, Radharani addresses the wind. Oh, brother wind! You must have performed austerities at some great pilgrimage place. As a result, you are now happily touching the feet of Gokula Chandra continuously with your entire body. My dear wind, you can smell the extraordinary fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet in this whole body. My dear brother wind, what have you done that you can place your whole body around Govinda and become soaked with his fragrance? This is amazing. So, in this shloka, it also says, O queen whose fragrance maddens Lord Madhava. It's really a state of very increased psychological movement if you pay your obeisances to the wind and say, I would like to be like you, that you, and surround the body of Madhava and carry his scent on me, all over me. But when Lord Krishna smells Srimati Radharani's beautiful bodily fragrance, he shivers in ecstasy, and he also wishes to race to Srimati Radharani. Race means to move with a high speed. But sometimes it happens that Krishna cannot immediately make out the position of Srimati Radharani. At that moment, Krishna does something very wonderful. And this activity of Krishna has captivated Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur entirely. And he has often recited a verse about what Krishna does. When Krishna smells only Radharani's fragrance is somewhere. It is somewhere. I don't know exactly where is Radha. Then he pays his full dandavat obeisances to the direction from where the breeze comes, which carries Radharani's fragrance. There's this verse in the Radharasa Sudha Nidhi, text 2 actually. Yasya kadapi vasanan shalakila nonotada danyati dhanya pachanena kritatamani yogindra durga margatiya madhusudanopi tasya namostu prishabhanu puvotishepi. I offer my obeisances to the direction that faces Sri Vishabhanu's daughter. When the breeze coming from that direction playfully moves the edge of his garment, Sri Krishna, who cannot be attained by even the kings of the yogis, thinks that his life has now become a great success. Imagine Krishna seeing that the breeze shakes his garment and understanding now this comes from by the fragrance of the breeze, understanding this comes from Radharani's direction, and he now thinks, wow, my life is successful. Imagine this amount of love. Can you imagine this? I mean, maybe when the Grihasthas amongst us fell in love, it's called the Purvaraga, the first falling in love with their wives, then you must have had such an extraordinary amount of attention to your wives. Maybe you were sitting in a class and you were anxiously looking, is she here also? And when you would see her coming in the horizon, approaching the class, you would feel, oh, this class will be successful due to her presence. You know, you will feel like this in the first moment. Later, it's a different story. But in the beginning, that is certainly there. Now imagine you would be so crazy that you would think, this wind, which is now slightly moving my dhoti, has actually been in contact with this particular Brahmacharini. You know, you would actually have to be described someone who has severely fallen in love. So Krishna is bound like this to Srimati Radharani in an extraordinary way, not in this ordinary way which I have described. He pays his obeisances even to this breeze which carries something of Radharani, something, the fragrance of Radharani. So the next description is about the flute which stuns Radha and the veena. What does the veena of Radharani do to Krishna? It charms Krishna. See, Krishna's flute song has an amazing effect on the immovable creatures. The immovable creatures begin to tremble when they hear the flute songs, and the movable creatures stop moving. They become stunned. There's a verse about this. The ambrosial song of Krishna's flute radically altered the nature of every entity in Vrindavan. The sound of Krishna's flute makes non-moving objects tremble, like trees and also rocks. It stuns the mobile creatures. I have heard that the birds remain in the sky, but they don't fall due to Vrindavan's maintenance shakti. they remain there somehow. The flute song melts stones into liquid. It silences the birds. It brings bumps of ecstasy to the vines. And you know, when Krishna comes in the forest and plays his flute, and there are these creepers winding up the trees, and they hear this flute song, they burst in ecstasy and develop these beautiful clusters of flowers, which are visible everywhere. So then these trees shower drops of nectar, which are the tears. In this way, the Vrindavan forest becomes glorious by dispelling the, I think it's called sattvika bhavas, huh? the ecstatic feelings which come involuntarily without any previous further conscious intervention, and so on. So Krishna reveals himself in his flute song according to our qualification and love. And it's very interesting when Lord Krishna hears. Now, when Mother Yashoda hears Krishna's flute song, she hears Krishna saying, "Ma, please bring me butter." When Nanda Maharaj, who has a different relationship to Krishna, hears his son's beautiful flute song, he hears how Krishna tells him through the song of his flute, "Father, I'll bring your shoes." Now, when the cowherd boys hear early in the morning Krishna blowing on his flute, and sometimes also on his bugle. Do you know what is a bugle? A horn. They leave their beds and rush out of their beds. They anyways couldn't sleep. And some of the cowherd boys are dressed by their mothers, and they say, "Mother, it's not necessary. Let me go now. Krishna must be surely up." The mother says, No. You need this ear ornamentation. What do you think? We are from a respectable family. You can't go like a beggar to cowherding." But then when Krishna's bugle sound, the cowherd boys just can't tolerate the decoration of the mothers any longer. They run forward. "I have to go, mother. And they run to Krishna to go herding the cows. So Krishna calls with his bugle in this case and flutes. And when Radharani hears the flute, she thinks the flute sings, "Radha, please come here. Please come here. Please come here." And Radha immediately becomes shy and thinks, "Gopal, you have no decency. How can you make our love so public by playing with the flute, you know?" So it really shows how everyone, according to his own qualifications, where he is situated in his relationship to Krishna, hears the flute in a different way. We have heard that if you chant the Gayatri Mantra, the Kama Gayatri Mantra, to perfection, what you hear is, you hear the flute of Krishna, because this Kama Gayatri is manifested from the flute of Krishna. You hear it actually. You hear the flute song, and I'm writing about this a little bit in the Gayatri book. So, according to your different situation in life or your qualification, you respond differently to Krishna. And this brings with us a very deep, deep subject. It brings the subject with us that in our lives we should, especially during the Govardhan retreat, make a conscious effort to become a little bit more qualified so that we can respond to Krishna to his flute song, to his sweet calling us. At the moment we may not hear so much, we may not see the messages of Krishna. All these messages in our lives should be seen as Krishna's flute song to us. Sometimes the flute song has a sad raga. What does Krishna tell us through his flute song of sadness? Sometimes our life has an exuberant note to it. How do we respond to this? How do we hear it? How do we interpret it? How do we learn from it? This is a very important question to be asked by the devotees of Krishna. The question, how do I respond to the flute song? Radharani has one instrument. You know this instrument of Radha? It's in the text. Veena. It's called the Kachapa Veena. It's a certain type of Veena, and as Radharani plays on this Kachapa Veena with her delicate fingers, it is explained, she plays on the heartstrings of Lord Krishna. This brings us first to the concept of raga. Raga is a type of music which reaches a certain sympathetic strings in a heart, so that an appreciator of raga will immediately cry or be jubilant or whatever. He will, some feeling will develop through the raga. No? This is now, feelings develop through three mediums: poetry, music, and food. Hare Krishna. These are the three ways how rasa in this world appears. So, also in the transcendental world, rasa, or the ecstatic mellow of love of Godhead, appears when the devotees hear the sound of Krishna's flute music or Radha's Veena music, when there is poesy. That's why all the gopis always talk in poems to Krishna. Krishna talks back in poems because it's a rasa-laden conversation. And you know, the rasa acharya of food is Madhu Mangal, who gives who says there's even a food rasa shastra. I don't know I think it's only what he says. But he is right in saying that certain foods bring out different responses. So Krishna, in Krishna Leela, these are very important elements, the three which I have just now told you. And it is described that sometimes Radharani sits in the caves of Giriraj Govardhan, and she plays her veena and instructs her manjaris in the art of singing songs for Krishna. There is one song which Radha says, when Krishna faints when he is in my association, he says to one, Radha says to one manjari, then you have to play this song which will bring Krishna back. Now, I won't be able to bring Krishna back because I'm the cause of his fainting. But if you sing this raga and this glorification, then Krishna will again wake up and come to his senses. So Radharani teaches this song in one cave of Govardhan to her servants on her Kachapavina. And you do like this and this, and then the melody goes, and then this is how it is. Hare Krishna. Let us hear this from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, how he describes this verse. O Lord Krishna, with your flute music and with the waves of your sweet fragrance, you charm Radha's heart at every moment. Krishna, with your flute music and with the waves of your sweet fragrance, you charm Radha's heart at every moment. O Sri Radha, with your Veena music and with the fragrance of your limbs, you make Lord Krishna's heart wild with bliss. Hare Krishna. So you can see how Rupa Goswami really enters into a darshan with the divine couple. He talks about fragrance and about music. And the next one is even more intimate. But before we go to this next one, the intimacy will increase and increase and increase until finally, in verse 10, it comes to an abrupt halt. And then in verse 11, the prayer weaves its way through the valley of Dainya Bodhika, where Rupa Goswami will melt the heart of Radha and Krishna and will appeal to their foremost quality, which we will learn a little later. What is the foremost quality of Radha and Krishna? So that they hear him. But I want to now see if you have any questions so far and would like to know something. Deshwari has a question, and Sachi Devi has a question, Govinda Nandan has a question. Yes, Sideshwari, please speak loud enough. I couldn't hear your question acoustically, although I requested you to speak loud, you were too soft. So we will now have another one. It's important for me to really train my audience. What is the name? What is the name of the raga which Srimati Radharani taught her Manjari friends to sing to Krishna? I read it in one text, but see, when a donkey reads about music, who can only say, ah, ah, he will not remember the fine musical terms. Because it really requires an appreciator to move in a subject matter, and I'm as everyone knows, an enthusiastically braying donkey. So I have forgotten it. I've seen it and I wanted to remember it, but because I'm so unmusical, I forgot it. Govinda Nandan, please speak loud enough. When we hear an answer, or
when we hear the answer,
yes.
Whom do we consult?
When we hear something about Krishna, the question goes: we will ask the question. and get an answer. Then we hear this answer, but maybe we misunderstand the answer. So whom do we consult to see if we understood? Krishna, what a question. I will give an answer a little bit independent from your question. The question, simply put, is how do we know that we are on the right path? Whom do we consult? A general answer to this question is Sadhu, Guru, and Shastra, and I believe we have heard this answer many times. However, I would like to add something which I have personally become aware of to this commonly given answer. Very often, a sensitive devotee will be able to get many answers from his feelings. Let me clarify this. A sensitive devotee will very easily feel well and not well. And he should learn to not ignore these feelings. These feelings which generally appear within the body, which never lies. Your mind, which interprets reality, very often lies, but the body can't lie. It is not mental. I want to give you an example. In the previous ashram where we stayed, I became so ill that one night, I have never seen this, like a river, the river Elbe, that's a German river, I won't say good word, that the mucus was coming out my nose. And I already knew, had a sort of idea where this would be coming from. I wanted to see further proofs. So that day when I left the ashram, I noticed the more I got away from our previous residence, the better I began to feel physically. Feelings very often tell a sensitive devotee, wait a minute, something is wrong here. But our mind is so expert in continuing the destructive path that we often ignore the feelings which have accumulated in our in us, and we go the destructive road. Often devotees come to me for consultation, and sometimes I say these days, what do you think? What do you feel is the answer? And they usually give the good answer, the right answer. Then I said, why don't you follow this? See, we have become out of touch. We Western people, also Western, anyone Western, we are so out of touch with the normal signals which we get. And usually the feelings are signals which tell us something is not wrong. You know, something is not right here. Obviously, I'm not advocating feely-touchy, I don't know how you say this in English, culture. You may have to consult, but very often, when you get a feeling that something is not right, stop for a moment, and maybe you will find very much the answer. Now, the sure way is obviously to ask Guru Sadhu Shastra. So we will now give the microphone for a second attempt to Siddheshwari. This time nothing can go wrong.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Krishna is Navayovanam, and we hear about his pastimes with Vrijabasis in Vrindavan with Gopas and Gopis. And what about the Vrijabasis, the residents of Vrindavan? Are they also in the same, do they have also the same quality that their age is not changing according to their rasa they are relishing with Krishna?
Yes, according to the rasa which they are relishing with Krishna, they, their age is not changing in the eternal Vrindavan. Only in the Vrindavan which comes here, there is a change, a growth. The eternal Vrindavan, that is sometimes difficult to understand for us. Krishna is always the child of Mother Yashoda. Always. And therefore, Mother Yashoda just can't imagine that the rumors are true that Krishna meets Radharani in the night. How? He's so small. He sleeps. How will it work? You know, it's she cannot imagine this. He says, "You are lying. You must be lying." This is, even if something is right before their eyes, they can't understand. And so, when Krishna, for instance, Krishna has a small, there are small boys who go with Krishna to the Jamuna. They are described to be toddlers. Now, I can't give you a satisfying translation of small toddlers, you know, small babies like that. Krishna will always have his special relationship with them. And these babies, baby boys, can come when Krishna is stealing the cloth of the unmarried gopis, because for them, they don't see a difference between men and woman, and small. They just find Krishna wonderful. He's so old and wise and clever, and he gives me candies, you know, ladus, and so on. So they all have this. Only in this this world, there are these changes. Krishna's born, Krishna grows up, Krishna eventually leaves and goes to Dwaraka. Only in this world, not in the eternal Vrindavan. Hare Krishna. Do we have other questions? Vitalji and Madhumati have a question. Yes, Vitalji. By entering into a little bit into the psychology of perception, we said the only way to really appreciate Krishna, know Krishna, is through a relationship, sambandha. And in a relationship, you start to perceive something about the person which another person outside the relationship cannot see, cannot. So, but in this world, it is like this, that even, let me say, a mother will perceives even a blind child as Padmalochana, lotus-eyed. That is the example which is given. The child is not lotus-eyed. The child is destroyed-eyed. He should be called not lotus-eyed, but the destroyed-eyed child, you know. But the mother will attribute lotus-eye qualities to the child due to her love. Now Lord Krishna, or Radha and Krishna, are the cause of all causes, and every quality is therefore residing within them in perfection. And different devotees, according to different levels of love, see a specific set of these divine qualities. You will only see these qualities when you become more purified and the love in your heart becomes directed towards Radha and Krishna. Then they will reciprocate in that way. See, I personally have the same problem which you have, that sometimes due to my own conditionings, I'm not able to taste the prayers, for instance, or the holy name, or deities, or anything. And my mind offers immediately a material explanation for the same prayers, the holy name, and for deities. I think that is normal. We should not become overly disturbed with what is normal on our stage. But at the same time, Vital, you and me have realized that sometimes, due to an incredible amount of mercy, our consciousness shifts. And the verse in the Bhagavatam, which we have read 100 times and overread, flares up with a very significant meaning, which becomes our direct direction in life. So I always think that this could happen any moment due to mercy. So when I'm not able to relish, then I prefer to wait in the safe room of humility until something happens, and then I can, after some time, relish again. Like that. You should not learn to interpret the world according to the ups and downs of your mind, you know.
You said before that it is very important that as much as we open our heart, Krishna comes to us or shows himself to us. And I think it's the same with the Vaishnavas, with Guru and everybody. So if we have difficulties to really open our heart, where can we get help?
According to how much we can open our heart, Krishna, Vaishnavas, and even the Guru reveals himself. Where do we find help to open our hearts? It's always described that to sit in the assembly of Vaishnavas and do two things: sing the holy name with them and hear Krishna Katha from them opens the heart. It's always mentioned like this. It is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, just like a poor man approaches the assembly of rich grihasthas in order to beg for his food, in just the same way, a Vaishnava who is in need will approach the assembly of Vaishnavas to beg his alms of Krishna Katha and Krishna's mercy there. This is where it works. You can get some psychological help to move on your blockades, which are in you. Maybe someone who points this out to you. But unless and until you have a strong spiritual influence, you will not be able to effectively overcome these blockades for good. Generally, it is said that to become conscious of something helps to derive, to get a different attitude towards that. In other words, if you shine the light of your consciousness into the darkness of your conditioning, that conditioning becomes clear to you. But just to know I'm suffering because of this blockade or that blockade is only one step. The second step is how to dissolve it. Therefore, those who have a lot of faith in Krishna and the holy name, they feel, if I just hear more about Krishna and chant the holy name, my known and unknown blockades will be solved. But those who may not have so much Shraddha, so much faith, and therefore may not be able to hope for a full revelation of the holy name and Krishna Katha, they might be well advised to go to a Vaishnava, and in the who is a little mature and also able to reflect what is there in us, and then in the association of this Vaishnava, a mirror is placed before us where we can see our conditioning. Open the heart, yes. Open the heart does also happen very much in the Holy Dharma. You just have to learn that to be a little bit silent. See, in the Holy Dharma, the mistake which many of us do is we talk the same things which we talked before. We busy ourselves with the same things we busied ourselves before. And we never have silence, really, inner silence. Only when the world becomes silent can you listen to God. Sometimes this is why we want to make this our ideas in the retreats, but we are still working on the retreats. We really need your help. Retreats really only work when those who retreat also retreat. That is, you have to, you know, as Bhujan Prabhu said, the shop of Giriraj is open 24 hours a day. Yesterday, in the night, I spent half an hour or an hour. I didn't look at the wristwatch. Out in the atmosphere of Braj, to just be a little bit in silence and to learn to listen to what comes up. It's very, very, very important. You know, in olden times, Madhumati, when the people didn't live so fast, they would always, in regular intervals, go into a situation of silence. Actually, the day of Ekadasi is meant for that. You know, because we constantly receive informations from the world and from our worldly mind, which is a perfect representative of the world. I don't know if any one of you has doubts. I have no doubts. My mind is a perfect piece of matter, and it tells me from morning till evening news of the world or worldly interpretations. We have to make this. I'm very interested in the culture of the holy name. Not only the ISKCON culture, although I would like to help the ISKCON culture to emerge to help ISKCON to emerge a culture of the holy name. Do you know that those who chant each day 196 rounds, you know how they do this? It is almost impossible to think how to do this. How many rounds you chant? 16 rounds. Now imagine to chant, oh, I'm so bad, 180 rounds more, huh? Yeah, but 180 rounds more than your 60 rounds, then you are there. This is Hare Krishna. This is impossible for me to think even. The way they do it is it's only possible if the mind becomes silent, that mundane monster, that ego monster, which is talking to most of us from morning till night, and in the night as dreams. What they do is they, for the first 64 rounds, they sit like this, Madhumati, without moving. Because they say when you move the body, then the mind starts moving. And we don't want him to move. We want him to be silent. We want to just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I mean, I can't even imagine to do this in my present state of health, you know. But I think it's logical. remember Bhujampabhu's excellent lecture about Trinada P. It was his second lecture which he gave, where he told us something I shall never forget because it's so true. He said, when you start to chant and you start to want to listen, then you meet your worst enemy, your mind, which who just doesn't like that. He doesn't want that. He rebels against it. And then you have to break through. Also, those who take sacred vows for chanting, 16 rounds. I heard yesterday devotees took initiation. Please, you have to work to make this practice perfect. Sit down, chant. If the mind is uncooperative in the beginning, once the mind gets the idea that if it's good, if it's cooperative, and you will just sit down for 16 rounds, you won't ask more in the beginning of the mind. The mind becomes like a child and cooperative. It's very happy. But you must imprint this idea. Then you become more open. Hare Krishna. So, I know there are more questions, but there are also more texts. We will do one more text now. Small text. Which is an easy text. Can you please go to text 7? Tomorrow we will enter a different chapter of the Kapanya Panjika Slokas, which may be a little bit more relevant for us. It's about lamenting, about the fallen state. But now I would like to go to text 7. Radha driti dhanastena lochanan chala chapalam Trikanchala kala bringi dashta krishna ridambujam Nuditi danastena lochanan chala chapalam Trikanchala kala bringi dashta krishna ridambujam O king, whose restless sidelong glances are the thief that steals Radha's peacefulness. O queen, whose bumblebee's sidelong glance bites the lotus of Krishna's heart. Much has been written about the divine couple's glances. Devotees in this world only have this desire that one day the Lord glances on them. When we go for darshan before the beautiful deities, we don't actually pray to see the deities. It's not for us to see, because we are blind. We are praying that Krishna looks on us, and this glance of Krishna on us will restore us to spiritual health. Even in this world, we find the power of glances working in the Mahabharata. You remember that our Gandhari, the most chaste of women, blindfolded herself because she was married to a blind husband, and she wanted to show her loyalty by sharing in the same fate. But she would always ask Duryodhana to come forward and just glance, just put her blindfold away from her eyes, and each morning she would look at Duryodhana, and by her glances would make him invulnerable. The only place she didn't glance was where his private parts were situated, you know, where he wore the gamsha. And that was the only place where Duryodhana was vulnerable. That's when the fight between Bhimasena and Duryodhana raged on for days without coming to any conclusion, Krishna actually told Bhim with a gesture, hit here at the hips. That's the only part which Gandhari's glances have not made invulnerable. And that's where Bhimsen was able to capture or to defeat Duryodhana. So, but Krishna's glance is much more powerful than Gandhari's glance, and so is Radha's glance. And therefore the Vaishnavas, they pray that Krishna could send his glance in their direction. Do you know one example where Krishna's glance revived? The Gopals. When the Gopas died because of drinking the poisonous water of the Kaliya lake, huh? Yes. And Krishna just came and saw the dead Gopas lying there. And the way he gave life to them was just by looking at them. And they rose up. Do you know that we have all come into this world because the Lord glanced us into this world? When he glanced, then this glance became Shiva, the creative, or Shambhu, the creative principle. It became. So devotees wish so much that the glance of the Lord will fall upon them, the loving glance of the Lord. Oh my Lord, can you just look in my direction? I'm here, you are there. So here it said, this glance is explained in relationship to the rasa-laden pastimes. There's one text I wanted to read to you about not Krishna's sidelong glance, but Radha's sidelong glance. I like this text very, very much. It's from the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stotra. Those who can chant it with me can please sing it, or we can try to sing it for you, and also with the Hare Krishna mantra. Anangadanga mangala prasanga bangura bruvam savipramang sasambramang trikantabanapataya anangadanga mangala prasanga bangura bruvam savipramang sasambramang trigantabanapataya nirantaram vashikrita pratita nanda nandane kadakarisyasiyamang kripa kataksavajanam kadakarisyasiyamang kripa kataksavajanam kadakarisyasiyamang kripa kataksavajanam Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
This is a beautiful prayer to the sidelong glance of Srimati Radharani. We became first aware of this prayer in the Sriji Mandir many, many years back when many Brij Bharsis chanted it, and later we looked for it and found that it is really one of the most beloved prayers of all classes of Vaishnavas here in Vrindavan. The prayer says in text 3, O Sri Radha, you always keep Krishna, the son of Nanda, under your control by throwing a crooked glance at him while enjoying amorous pastimes with him and discussing sweet topics with him. You suddenly make Krishna struck with wonder by frowning your eyebrows. When will you make me the recipient of your merciful glance? This is very much implied in this text by Rupa Goswami that, yes, O Queen of Vrindavan, your bumblebee sidelong glance has an effect on Krishna's heart, but please also look in my direction. This is the dream of all the Vaishnavas. We hear about the power of Radharani's glance in a very, very beautiful pastime which is described by Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu. You will like it. It's about when Krishna comes to the beautiful gopis in Bandiravan. The gopis asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm Gopal." "Oh," says the beautiful gopis, "there are so many gopals. Gopal means cowherd boy. Go means cow and pal, the protector. What can you do that makes you special?" And Krishna said, when I wrestle, I win." Vrindavan, what can you say? "When I wrestle, I win. This is Krishna's speciality." So the gopis then contest him and say that this is not always true. They have heard that Krishna has sometimes lost also a wrestle match. And they discuss about this back and forth until finally one gopi suggests that, "I bet you will be defeated even by our foremost gopi, who's only a girl, Srimati Radharani." This is too. Krishna is now challenged. And he says, "Let's have a wrestle match in 2 weeks." So during these 2 weeks, Krishna prepares himself for the wrestle match. And on the day of the wrestle match, the huge wrestle arena is created in the beautiful forest of Vrindavan. And everyone participates except the elders, who do not know about Radha and Krishna's secret meetings in the bowers of Vrindavan. But they are the cowherd boys on one side, they side for Krishna, of course, and the gopis on another side, they side for Srimati Radharani. And all the animals are there, and some Kalpa Vriksha trees have also moved there to see this event, this huge event of strength. So, in a nearby Kunj, Lord Krishna is dressed and encouraged by Madhu Mangal in a special wrestling dress. And also Srimati Radharani is dressed by Lalita and Vishakha in a wrestling zari. The wrestling zari is bound in the middle and up so that good movements are possible. As the hour or the time of wrestling comes closer, Krishna gets increasingly nervous because he will meet his beloved Radha. And this totally affects his heart. And when the heart is affected, the body is affected. Madhu Mangal at this time says, come on, she's only a girl. Don't show any sign of weakness, and I will give you a little special arm massage, which will give you the power of 10,000 elephants in the arms. So they are then led out of the Kunjas to the wrestling arena, and Radha walks either a little in front or a little in the back, but she walks a little distance away from Krishna, and Krishna captures her scent. And that time, his knees begins to wobble. We have heard that the scent of Srimati Radharani totally moves the heart of our Lord, the Lord of love. And again, Madhu Mangal said, don't show any sign of weakness. You... Then you have lost already when you show it, you know. Just walk erect. It is that there is no problem at all. I have also chanted mantras. Don't worry. So then the divine couple is brought into the wrestling arena, and all of Vrindavan Forest explodes with happiness. Jai Sri Radhe, Jai Sri Krishna. You know, the respective sides are exclaiming, and there's a wild joy. So at that time, they are confronting each other. Lalita only removes a little bit the veil of Srimati Radharani, and Radha looks with a sidelong glance on Krishna. And when Krishna captures the power of this sidelong glance, I mean, it doesn't affect only his knees, it affects his whole personality, and he falls over in a faint into the celebrated dust of Vrindavan. And before it has even the wrestling has even begun in all seriousness, the defeat of Krishna is proclaimed throughout the forests of Vrindavan. And the gopis, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, they go like this. So this is how the sidelong glance of Krishna, of Radha, has so much power. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes about this. O Lord Krishna, O crest jewel of thieves, with your restless glances you have robbed Radha of her wealth of peacefulness. And O graceful artist, O wealthy Sri Radha, your waves of crooked glances, its waves, make Lord Krishna intoxicated with bliss. We know now, Krishna becomes so blissful and intoxicated, just like an intoxicated man cannot walk in a straight line and sometimes loses out to gravity and falls into a ditch. In North Germany, you can see often in the night the ditches full of people who were intoxicated. And then, in the same way, Krishna is intoxicated with bliss and choop, falls down. There is 10 verse 9, which I will read to you tomorrow, and then we will go directly in the next section. I want to thank you very, very much for your kind attention. You were a wonderful but not easy audience this morning, because after Ekadasi we are naturally a little bit more tired. Please forgive me if I have said something in my attempt to make you eager listeners, which is not so palatable to your cultural taste. And please let us go on in our retreat. Now I make a pause which is a little bit earlier so that you have more time to relax and relax and release. And at 1:30, let us please all assemble here for Burijan Prabhu's class, The Ultimate Pilgrimage. Namaste Girirajaya. Shri Govardhana Namine. Ashesha Klesha Nashaya. Paramananda Daine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Giriraj Govardhana Ki. Hare Krishna.